fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off in Barcelona, where there's shock and anger over the news that superstar Lionel Messi wants to leave the football club after nearly two decades with the Spanish giant. Barcelona officials confirmed the six-time World Player of the Year sent a document expressing his desire to leave. The announcement came 11 days after Barcelona's humiliating 8-2 loss to Bayern Munich in the UEFA Champions League quarterfinals. It was one of the worst defeats in Messi's career and in Barcelona's history. Spanish newspapers splashed the Messi story across front pages on Wednesday. One headline read, "Messi bomb, he wants to leave." And another headline said, "Total war." That could be referencing a legal battle over Messi's attempts to leave the club. Messi met last week with Barcelona's new coach, Ronald Koeman, and reportedly told the Dutchman he saw himself more out than in at the club. Lionel Messi has helped Barcelona win 10 Spanish league titles and 4 Champions League crowns since he made his first team debut in 2003 when he was 16 years old. Messi holds most individual records at Barcelona and has scored 634 goals during his 731 appearances with the club. In African sports news, Kenya has unveiled guidelines for the resumption of sporting activities in the wake of the coronavirus pandemic. The new guidelines, including safety protocols, will come into force in the next 2 weeks. Ruben Chama reports from Nairobi.
Kenya's Cabinet Secretary for Sports, Amina Mohamed, says no definite date has been set yet, but the guidelines will help ease the return of sporting activities after months of restrictions and containment measures to fight the spread of the coronavirus.
The advisory committee will therefore make a comprehensive presentation, after which we will open a window of 7 days for stakeholder engagement and feedback. The guidelines will also be available on the Ministry of Sports, Culture and Heritage websites. They will also be shared officially with all sports organizations. In view of this, I invite all of you to review this then and share your feedback.
Speaking virtually via Zoom conference, the Kenyan minister said officials and the sporting fraternity at large have 7 days to give their feedback before a date is fixed for the resumption of contact and non-contact sports in the East African nation. But health officials say sports events such as soccer, which attract huge crowds, remain high-risk areas. Rashid Aman is the Chief Administrative Secretary at the Ministry of Health.
Sports that will bring together a lot of people, gatherings in stadia, I think still remains a concern. If we were to talk about soccer or things where you have a lot of fans coming in into the stadium, we need to have the proper measures also instituted in that place. If we have to resume these sports, then we must also put in place the right measures to ensure that there is social distancing, wearing of masks, and all these other procedures.
Kenyan authorities suspended sports competitions in March following the outbreak of coronavirus in the country. But Mohamed says she remains optimistic that the sporting calendar will resume soon.
I hope that we'll be able to complete this exercise as quickly as is possible and roll out then a sports calendar.
Kenya is planning numerous sporting events later this year. In October, it will play host to the World Athletics Continental Tour, and the national football team, Harambee Stars, is set to play in the Africa Cup of Nations qualifiers in November. The country has also seen the postponement of other major sporting events, including the Motorsport World Rally Championship, the World Athletics Under-20 Championships, and the Magical Kenya Open Golf Championships. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Ruben Chama in Nairobi.
Hello, sports fans. This is Paul Tergat, marathon champion from Kenya. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Now let's go to Nigeria, where the country's Taekwondo Federation has organized an online Pumse event for its athletes during the COVID-19 crisis. To find out more, Iron Mike Mbonye contacted the Federation's technical director, 2008 Olympic bronze medalist Chika Chukwumerejie.
The online Pumse event was the first online competitive event for Taekwondo ever in Nigeria and in West Africa, actually. Pumse is like a series of coordinated moves, punches, stances, kicks. Every belt has a series of moves assigned to it. And for a Pumse competition, each category is required to do the Pumse. For example, a yellow belt Pumse has, a white belt Pumse has 20 moves, for instance. So we can get maybe a certain age to just do that Pumse. And everybody that does it is judged on the accuracy and on the speed, the power, the timing. So the judges actually, they judge the Pumse life using an electronic software, deducting points from 10. And the top 8 go through the finals, and at the finals, the top 4 with the highest points win the gold, silver, and 2 bronze medals. So the event was meant to actually galvanize the Taekwondo community, to keep them engaged in this period of COVID, and to basically make a statement that we can stay active while staying safe. And we were very successful in achieving this.
What do you intend to achieve with the winners of the Pumse event?
Yes, everybody in the event was a winner, actually, because the focus was on participation. But for the winners, they get certificates. Some of the categories get some prize monies just to encourage them. But what made it interesting is that we had 105 participants. For the Pumse event in Nigeria, we've never had more than 30 or 40. So it was amazing to see the turnout. The youngest in the event was just 4 years old, and the oldest was 60. So that was 60, almost 66 decades older. So it showed a wide range of participation, and this we're very, very happy with. We had viewership from across the world because we did the event same time as we did the first Africa Taekwondo talk show, which hosted so many world champions, Olympic champions, Commonwealth medalists. So the show was really, really a huge success because it held together with the tournament.
It's been 12 years that you won an Olympic medal for Nigeria in Taekwondo. What are the prospects for another medal in the Tokyo Olympic Games?
It has been 12 years since I won the medal. Definitely prospect for Tokyo. We have one person in Elizabeth. I just want Nigerians to support the young lady so that we increase their chances of being on the podium. So definitely we have all the opportunity to get her on the podium. So she needs a lot of financial support, I'm to be blunt about it, you know. So she's coming from nothing, and the experience I've gained over years went into preparing her. So now we've gotten to this point, at least people know it's a serious program. So let's come together and make it happen and put on the podium, you know. And that's it. So I think young ladies especially are going to be very inspired by her. You know, she's just 21, well-educated, and it's a good story for inspiration.
That's Chika Chukwumerejie, the technical director of the Nigeria Taekwondo Federation, and he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Abuja, Nigeria.
Yes, sporty greetings. This is 3-time Olympian and Beijing 2008 Olympic medalist Chika Chukwumerejie. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and U.S. Centers for Disease Control say coughing and sneezing can spread COVID-19. Physical distancing, staying at least 1 meter away from people outside your family, can protect everyone. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Now let's go to Accra, where Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori has been talking with Sammy Haywood, the communication director of the Ghana Boxing Authority. Sammy was born and still lives in an area of Accra called Bukom, which has produced some great boxers over the years, including former world champions Azuma Nelson, Ike Corte, and Joshua Cloete. Kwabena asked Sammy, what influence have those world champions and others had on young fighters in Bukom?
I can say it has been inspirational because, you know, at times we say the bosses don't give much to where they came from. Well, it's so easy. It's so easy. Not many of them get money or become rich in the game of boxing. Yeah. You know, recently we lost one of our boxers, Afrekuti, was a very good champion, but we lost him because he didn't have money, so he had to go to America, where he says to go and live there. You know, most of them, when they get the money, most of the indiscipline, I was talking about discipline, because they're not disciplined, they don't use their money very, very well.
Well, they have managers. They don't get good advice from their managers.
No, the manager can give you advice, but if you don't take the advice, it's another thing. Mm-hmm. The manager will advise you, but you will say if you don't take the advice, it's a different thing. Mm-hmm. Your friends come around, come and harass you. Mm-hmm. You know, Azuma Nelson. Yeah. One time, Azuma Nelson had a drink factory, giving people drinks. So it wasn't good. Mm-hmm. So I changed the business and do other things. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got good champions, about 10 world champions. Ghana has produced 10 world champions. Azuma Nelson, Ike Corte, Afrekuti, Banana Konedu. Recently we had Game Boy, Monetego, Ushid Kome, Aze Dogbe, Joseph Agbeko, Joshua Clote. Mm-hmm. All of them are very, very good bosses. Mm-hmm. A bosser like Joshua Clote, he made good money in boxing. Mm-hmm. He made very, very good money. He has built about 3 houses through boxing. A bosser like Monetego has made good money in boxing. Mm-hmm. So most of them have made good money. Mm-hmm. But it's about if you don't look after your life very, very well, you go broke. It's about life. If you don't look after yourself very well, you go broke. Yeah. So it's about life.
From amateur to professional boxing, why is it that the regions, we have so many regions, about 10 or 16 regions, why they don't fit in at Bukom?
You know, most of them come to Accra, come and see Accra. Because the boss said they come from the north, Kumasi, Sunyani, Eastern region, Volta region, and come and see in Accra.
Are they good boxers?
They are good boxers. So they come from the regions, they come and see in Accra. Mm-hmm. So you know, we'll see them in their regions, mm-hmm. but they come to Accra and come and stay in Accra and fight in Accra. Mm-hmm. But you know, the people of Accra are very, very good boxers because they don't fear to fight. Okay. Somebody in Kumasi will say, I fear for my face, so I fear to get hit, I fear to get cut, I fear to, you know, to be battered, to be beaten. Mm-hmm. So I will fight. But a boxer in Accra doesn't fear anything, mm-hmm. will go all out and fight and win. That's why Accra boxers are very, very good. You see the thing? And most of the, you know, Accra lifestyle is about boxing. Okay. If you go to Bukom or come to Bukom, it's about boxing. Boxing make Bukom and Bukom make boxing in Accra. That's the thing.
So what next for Bukom? Because you're expecting some of the boxers to go internationally to bring some medals to Ghana. What have you in line for Bukom boxers?
You know, this coronavirus, COVID-19, has worried Ghana a lot. There were many, many programs. Our president, Peter Zwenis, he said coronavirus gave Ghana boxing a punch, a knockout punch, and we are recovering from the punch. So we are recovering. Since March to August, we haven't had any big fights in Accra here. All our boxers are fighting elsewhere, maybe in America or elsewhere. But I can say we have very, very good bosses who can become champions in the future. You know, Dogbe was beaten last year, mm-hmm. but he has come back. In his return fight, he did very, very well. Mm-hmm. which had come to was beaten. But I said he will come a 2-time world champion. Recently, one of our bosses, Ahmed Mohamed, he also fought in America and got a low contest. We have bosses like Emmanuel Tego, who fight again. A bosser like Mayo Planche, wonderful bosser, very, very skillful. He's coming back, we'll see him. We have a bosser like Jatabi. Jatabi is called Wasil Mohamed. Very, very classy. He's a global WBO champion. Global. Very, very fantastic boxer. So I can say we have good bosses who are coming up. And you see them. Ghana doesn't lose bosses. There are other bosses coming up. Even you have juniors who are very coming up. A bosser like Duke Mecca. That's a fight coming up in September in America for the WBO bantamweight title. So you see him.
So in all, how many champions will you make from these mentioned boxes?
Those coming up or those who have gone?
Those who are going to fight for title.
Oh, I can say about three.
Expected.
Three. Mayo Planche, Wasil Mohamed, and Duke Mecca. Even I can say four or five because Tegu, Mane Tegu too is there. You know, Mane Tegu want to fight Lamachenko. Lamachenko, the world best boxer, Lamachenko want to fight him. Hey, Tegu want to fight Lamachenko. Okay. If it is a fight, people will see that Ghana, people know Ghana. But as someone has seen Afrikote, Aikote, Big Poison, people know that Ghana has very, very good bosses. We are like Mexico. We are like America. So when it comes to boxing, the whole Africa, no country comes near to Ghana in boxing.
So you know we should expect about, say, three champions, world champions.
Yeah. In the next few years, maybe in the next 2 years, let's expect bosses like Wasil Mohamed, Duke Mecca, and Mayo Planche becoming champions.
That's Sammy Haywood, the communication director of the Ghana Boxing Authority. And he spoke with Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori in Bukom, Accra, Ghana. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In more sports news from Ghana, the country's Football Association has announced a new initiative to develop referees in the country. For more details, we're joined by Yao Ofusu-Larbi in Accra. Sporty greetings, Yao.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Around 2 years ago, the biggest expose that uncovered rots in football hit our country in the biggest of ways. For months, football was at a standstill. Domestic football was banned. CAF and FIFA imposed sanctions on the then president, Kwesi Nyantichi, and a cleanup began. A normalization committee was formed to steer football for a while before a new president was elected last year. Many of the corrupt practices highlighted in the expose hinged on refereeing. In a bid to clean up the system, the Catch Them Young refereeing policy was launched this week. The vision of the policy is to unlock the potential of young persons who show interest in refereeing and build a future of credible referees for the country. Children between the ages of 13 through to 16 are the ones eligible to be trained for officiating inter-schools games, five-a-side tournaments, and others under the project. Presenting the modalities for the project, the Ghana Football Association referees manager, Alexander Kote, gave details on the importance of training referees at a young age.
We all know that referees is one of the stakeholders that makes the game, you know. And so if you don't get the basis, which is the referee right, then of course it will be very difficult to catch them, and I mean to bring back that love, okay? And so the ultimate is for us to develop more referees.
President of the Ghana Football Association, Keto Kreku, explained the purpose of the event and says it is to get more Ghanaian referees to the world stage.
We would aggressively comb the woods of Ghana, find young girls and boys with the right levels of passion, and bring them close or bring them into the Football Association at the regional level and add value by way of training. And we believe that if we are successful with this strategy, Ghanaian refereeing will come back onto the world stage again and perhaps dominate.
Ghana's only FIFA referee, Daniel Lai, is one of the youngest around. He outlines the difficulties of being a young referee in the country and how the policy will help curb it.
The only challenge, it's not difficult because, you know, when you are fit, and you look sharp and you have the personality, people tend to even admire your physicality and everything on the field. And when they see you as young, if a person can be trained and he knows what he's doing and the personality is there, I don't think there is any challenge, because it's an advantage for your fitness and your personality.
This policy, football fans across the country hope, will improve the standard of refereeing. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Yao Fosulabi in Accra.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. In National Basketball Association playoff action Tuesday, the Los Angeles Clippers and the Denver Nuggets both posted victories in Orlando, Florida. The Clippers set a club record in scoring, as we hear now from the AP's Dave Ferry.
The Clippers took a 3-2 lead in their first round series by setting a franchise record for points in a playoff game, 154-111 over the Mavericks. Kawhi Leonard scored 22 points, and Paul George scored 18 to help Los Angeles take a 76-52 halftime lead. George broke out of a scoring slump with a team-high 35 points.
Games 2, 3, 4, I wasn't there. I felt like I wasn't there. Shout out to the people that was in my corner, the people that gave me the words.
Leonard added 32. Montrezl Harrell had 19 points and 11 rebounds for the Clippers. Dallas guard Luka Doncic was held to 22 points on 6 of 17 shooting after pouring in 43 points on Sunday. I'm Dave Ferry.
Thanks, Dave. Meanwhile, the Denver Nuggets avoided elimination with a victory over the Utah Jazz in Orlando. The AP's Bruce Morton reports.
Jamal Murray scored 33 second-half points, carrying Denver to a 117-107 decision. The Nuggets still trailed the Jazz 3-2, but remain alive thanks to Murray's game-high 42 points.
We're on the same page and talking things out. Even when we make a mistake, we just move on to the next play. We have to move on to the next game. You know, can't get too high, can't get too low. And we just got that resiliency in us.
Utah led by 15 in the third quarter, yet the score was tied when Murray put his mates up for good at 103-101 with 3:22 left. That hoop began a spurt of 9 consecutive Murray points, and Denver could turn its thoughts to Game 6 on Thursday. I'm Bruce Morton.
Thanks, Bruce. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Milwaukee Bucks star Giannis Antetokounmpo, who was voted the National Basketball Association's Defensive Player of the Year. In winning the award, Giannis put himself in some very select company. He's only the 5th player in NBA history to win the Defensive Player of the Year and League Most Valuable Player trophies in a career. The others to do it are Michael Jordan, Hakeem Olajuwon, David Robinson, and Kevin Garnett, who are all retired. Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Bucks will try to close out their first-round playoff series later Wednesday against the Orlando Magic. The Bucks lead the best-of-seven series 3-1. In other playoff games Wednesday, the Oklahoma City Thunder play the Houston Rockets. That series is tied at 2 games each. And the Los Angeles Lakers play the Portland Trail Blazers. The Lakers lead that first-round series 3-1. And that wraps up the August 26th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC. VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues.
It's about listening to them
and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.